Welcome to the LeanZone.com podcast, where we discuss construction contracts, liens, and bonds. And now, our host, Alex Barthet.
Let's talk about another provision that exists in most construction subcontracts, and that's how they define quality of work and repair. Most plans don't specify make and model for lots of things. And that usually is gets resolved with shop drawings and submittals. But that being said, the owner, and therefore the contractor, expects you to provide first-class working equipment and material and labor. So here's a sample provision that defines the quality of work. Subcontractor shall at all times provide first-quality new materials unless otherwise specified in the contract documents, and workmanship conforming to this subcontract and the contract document requirements, and be in accordance with the best standards of the construction industry where the project is located. The subcontractor shall, if required, furnish satisfactory evidence as to kind and quality of all materials and equipment. So the use of the word best is important because If an agreement says nothing, it is assumed that it is a reasonable standard, and using the word reasonable just reinforces that. But because the contract says best, that means if there's any argument about what was provided, they could come back and say, well, you needed to provide the best, and this isn't the best. Usually, that as an issue by itself doesn't cause a problem. It's when there's a dispute. You provided X, they wanted, the owner now wants Y. They can go back and point to the word best. So anywhere you see in your agreement where it says best, the best anything, best quality, highest level, those are all indications that you probably should strike that language and put something lower, like reasonable. Because we can argue about what's reasonable. There's a lot less argument when it comes to defining what the best is. So one of the other issues that comes up in a construction contract is, and we talked about this before, where your work meets other work. And the intersection of those two areas is often very, it can be ripe for lots of disputes. There's a standard provision that exists in most contracts where it says, if you move forward with your work, there is an assumption you are representing to the contractor that the areas that your work touched were acceptable. So the example that I have here is stucco, because it's a perfect example. So stucco goes on the outside of a building. The stucco contractor doesn't do the masonry or concrete work. That's another person. So now the stucco contractor comes on and he realizes there's all these problems with the work, but he goes forward anyways with his work. If he does that, he assumes the responsibility of the defects that existed underneath rather than, or I should say, a better way to have dealt with it is to make a claim. Say, hey, I can't do my work because the masonry is uneven. There's too many gaps. I'm going to need a filler material. Whatever the problem is, it needs to be raised in order to protect the stucco contractor. So to the extent you are doing work and you realize that the work that or materials that your work touches are not acceptable, you need to indicate that to the contractor and ask the contractor what they want you to do with that. So here's a sample provision. Subcontractor shall use all necessary means to discover and to notify contractor in writing of any defect in any part of the project upon which the satisfactory performance of the work may depend, and to allow a reasonable amount of time for remedying such defects. If subcontractor should proceed with the work, subcontractor shall be considered to have accepted and be responsible for such condition and consequences therefrom, unless subcontractor shall have been directed by contractor in writing to proceed over subcontractor's written objection to the contractor. This gets back to your ADA example, right? You've identified the problem. Hey, we can't keep going. They say go forward anyways. You will have discharged your duty under this section of the contract. You may still ultimately be liable to the owner or someone that that has the right to complain about the ADA, but at least as between you and the contractor, you did the right thing. So if you identify a problem with things that are happening in front of you, it's your obligation to notify the contractor in writing. So as a sub, when you see that provision, what could you write in response? You could say, subcontractor disclaims responsibility for conditions which are hidden or otherwise not reasonably discoverable. And again, most reasonable contractors would accept such a provision. They would know that you can't foresee the future. So as a result, you shouldn't be held liable for things that are not in your control. So let's talk about warranties and guarantees. When the job is done, that doesn't mean that your obligations end. Most contracts impose a warranty obligation upon you. The contractor has a warranty obligation as well. And this warranty obligation typically is addressed at length in the construction contract. Where we see a lot of conflict is where there is a warranty claim and there's an outstanding balance, right? So the subcontractor says, I'm not going back to do anything. You owe me my final payment. And the contractor says, I'm not paying you your final payment until you come out and do the warranty work. So the question is, how does the contract deal with this problem? Now, a standard GC contract says you're not done until you do all the punch list and warranty work, which gives them the right to withhold final payment. As a sub, you would like to be able to say, I don't owe you a warranty until you have paid me all the money that I'm owed. So let's look at a sample provision on this issue. This one favors the contractor. The subcontract shall not be considered completely performed until all punch list and warranty and guarantee obligations hereunder are fully satisfied. Subcontractors' punch list and warranty obligations shall apply irrespective of any payment disputes between subcontractor and contractor and or any unpaid balance claimed by the subcontractor. So that's pretty straightforward from the contractor's perspective.
This episode is brought to you by the Construction Lawyers Alliance, a network of the top construction lawyers from around the country. At ConstructionLawyersAlliance.com, you can search construction law topics in nearly every state. Visit ConstructionLawyersAlliance.com to find the construction law answers you are looking for and a seasoned construction lawyer that can assist you.
As a sub, again, you want to ideally push back. You'd like to say, I'm not going to do my warranty. I'm not going to provide a warranty unless you pay me. The other issue that comes up is how long of a warranty do you owe? There's a kind of an industry standard 1 year, but understand that your warranty may in fact be longer. You as a contractor may have a longer warranty depending on the type of work you do. You as a contractor would like to make sure your sub is just as liable to you for that warranty if it's longer than a year. So one of the ways to do that in your contract is to say to the sub that your warranty back to me is the longer of, and then you give them a list of options, and it's the longer of any of them. So I think we have a sample provision here. Subcontractor shall warrant and guarantee to contractor and owner and any and all successive owners all work performed in materials and equipment furnished under this subcontract against defects in materials and workmanship for the longer of, and now it has a list, 1 year from the date of substantial completion of the project, or for a longer period, if so specified in the contract documents, or for any applicable period as required by law. So let's break down each of those three, because each of them has a little nuance to it that's important. So one year from the date of substantial completion of the project, capital P. So let's assume you come on the job early and you finish early and the job goes for another 6 months and then under this provision, your warranty doesn't start until the job is done. So you have 6 months that you thought your warranty was running when you were done as a sub. Your warranty didn't start running until the job was finished, so then it's another year. So be aware, 1 year from the contractor's perspective is 1 year from the time they're done with the whole contract, the whole project. So remember, that may be longer for you as a sub if you get out early. The second item, for a longer period, if so specified in the contract documents, capital C contract, capital D documents. One of those documents is the prime contract. When's the last time you looked at what the warranty obligation is in the prime contract? Maybe it's 2 years. Maybe it's 5 years. Who knows? But if there's some other reference in any of these incorporated contract documents that has a longer warranty, this provision says you as a sub are obligated for that. And then the last one is for any applicable period as required by law. The classic example is the condo warranty statute. The condo warranty statute, Chapter 718, has a warranty that is up to 3 years for certain specific trades. So that means that you think you only gave a one-year warranty. In fact, the law requires up to a three-year warranty. So understand that depending on your situation, you may be obligated to give a warranty much longer than 1 year. The problem with a warranty is a warranty could go on for a long time. So the argument back to the contractor is, wait a second, we could finish this job, and just because I owe you a warranty obligation, that means you get to keep holding my money? That's not right. And most contractors would agree that at least as to the warranty, then they should still have to pay you. Like, they have to pay you in order to get the warranty. That's an easier sell to get them to agree to pay you in order to have a warranty. But remember, we're going through lots of different issues, right? So you have to order them in what's most important. This probably, you know, I would say less than halfway down, or more than halfway down on the list of important things that you'd want to focus on. You know, payment, really big issue. The right to stop work, indemnity. Those things are probably more important than a warranty.
Thanks for listening to the LeanZone.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or in your favorite podcast app. For articles, videos, and forms on this and other construction topics, head over to the LeanZone.com.